Welcome back, America. Chu Hewitt, July 6th show. That music cues Admiral James Stavridis, retired United States Navy, former Allied Supreme Commander of NATO, former head of Southern Command, currently chairman of the Rockefeller Foundation, and a brand new job at the Carlyle Group. I can't remember the exact title, Admiral. What is it?
Vice Chairman, Global Affairs. So I conduct, as you would expect, geopolitical advice for the firm across our very large global footprint. It's a real honor.
Well, congratulations on that, Admiral. I have a question for you. I can go anywhere with you. I can go to academia because your time is Dean of Fletcher School. I can go business. I can go anywhere. I want to talk to you about change of command today because the biggest story on Monday was Amazon founder Jeff Bezos stepped down as CEO on Monday, handing over the reins as the company navigates the challenge of a world fighting to emerge from the coronavirus pandemic. Andy Jassy, who ran Amazon's cloud computing business, replaces Bezos. Now, we all knew this was coming. It's sort of like a change of command. I am curious. You've been on both sides of changes of command, Admiral, many, many times, giving the reins to a newcomer, taking the reins from someone who's leaving the ship or a business or a school or now an endowment. What are the key issues when someone does that?
The key issues are hoping that there'll be continuity for the good ideas that the outgoing commander has put in place. But you probably know this, given your own connections to the military. There's an old saying that no good idea survives a change of command ceremony.
And
you know, that's
heard
human
that.
Nature. Yeah, that's human nature. The new boss wants to make his or her mark coming in. And that's fine up to a point. What you worry about, particularly in the military, which, as you know, does changes of command every 2 to 3 years, way too often, in my view. Bezos has been at the helm of Amazon for a couple of decades. A better model is the business world here, where you can't imagine a CEO taking charge for less than 5 years. Typical is 10 years. Same thing at a university, by the way. 5 years, very short tenure. 10 years feels about right for a president or a dean. Military, we're churning all the time, and that holds us back. So that's kind of point two, is be careful of the short-term whipsaw effect it can have on the people in the organization. And I think number three, as the incoming commander, is kind of the mirror image of those two points. You want to be very respectful of the good ideas that your predecessor put in place. Naturally, there are going to be some things you want to change. But bottom line, you try and find the balance between keeping what the organization's been doing and what you want it to do going forward. It's a delicate balance.
Now, Admiral, I have heard about the military that there's a tendency to go good cop, bad cop at some level. I can't remember what the level is in the Marine Corps. It might be brigade and in squadrons in the Air Force and the Navy and in ships, good cop, bad cop. That, by the way, is not in academia. Academia usually goes great dean, bad dean. It's just almost inevitable. If you have a great dean, you're going to have a bad dean. If you have a bad dean, you're going to get a great dean. I'm not sure about CEOs of business. It seems to me too large of a data set to absorb. But what ought people to be looking for in any situation? Shouldn't they try for good cop all the time?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, another angle to what you're describing is in many military organizations, there is another good cop, bad cop that's different than the succession of the commander. It is the commander and the deputy commander. So on a ship, would say the CO and an XO, the XO standing for executive officer, second in command. You see often in military organizations a benevolent leader and a kind of take charge, push hard executive officer right below him or her. So that's another model. And frankly, that ain't all bad. In organizations, it can be very important that you have someone who can deliver the bad news, who can be the face of disagreement, who can push the organization very hard, while the leader kind of stays on top and stays at the strategic level. Another way to think of it is, who's on the inside making the sausage every minute and who's looking up with the larger strategic view out there. But in terms of succession, CO to CO to CO in the military context, CEO to CEO in the business context, absolutely, you want to go good to good to good. I'll conclude on this by saying, here's another point of this to bear in mind. Really good CEOs, really good COs in the military context, they're always looking for top talent. And they're not afraid to surround themselves with the very best. A way to put that, that Don Rumsfeld, may rest in peace, used to say, A's hire A's, B's hire C's. Because the B's don't want the competition in the team around them. They want to look like the person at the very top. So for good COs and good CEOs, what you want to look for is that tendency to hire the very best, surround themselves with talent. A's hire A's, you want an A.
Now, Admiral, by the way, I appreciated your tweet and your column about Secretary Rumsfeld. I posted over at my podcast, the interview with Hugh Hewitt, two long-form interviews I did with him on the publication of his memoir and the publication of Rumsfeld's Rules, and I recommend that to anyone who knew and loved Donald Rumsfeld. I want to now switch, and I don't mean to cast blame. This isn't really about casting blame. It's about looking at Surfside and the city government there, and for all I know, you might know everyone in the city government of Surfside. It's pretty far south of where you live. And whether or not they ought to immediately resign and be replaced, if not by interims. Because when the Navy has a catastrophic incident, people are replaced pretty quickly so that investigations into it, I believe, can be forthcoming and candid. If you were the Surfside City Council, they ought to stay out their terms because they're democratically elected. But they have a city manager and they have building inspectors. Would you sweep everyone, ask for resignations, and not vindictively, but in order to get to the bottom of what happened there?
Here I would apply the Navy principle, which is to be pretty direct, pretty quick, and pretty sweeping in terms of consequence for leaders in the chain of command. And I'll give you a classic example of this, Hugh, from several years ago. You'll recall when, tragically, two of our Navy destroyers, brand new ships, Arleigh Burke destroyers, top of the line, both within months of each other, had collisions in the Pacific, which resulted in the deaths of 17 sailors. What the Navy did in that instance, we fired the 4-star, we fired the 3-star, we fired the 2-star, we fired the 1-star. We got rid of the Commodore, the officer in charge of the group of destroyers. We fired both of the commanding officers, the executive officers, and the command master chiefs. Now, fire may be extreme. In some cases, they were forced to retire early. In some cases, they were shuttled off to non-important assignments. But we cleaned house. And we felt we had to because of the loss of life, because of the sweeping ramifications of those kind of collisions. And I'm not saying apply the Navy rule to Surfside, but that principle of swift accountability, I think, is something that is salutary. And you also, finish with this, you also need to find the balance between these are people, the leadership you mentioned, they're still in the middle of the fight. So I don't think this is the moment to reach in and pull them out. But I think pretty quickly, it will become the moment to say, yes, you have not only responsibility, but accountability for what has occurred here. And I would look for resignations and or dismissals.
Now, the last question, Admiral, with regard to that, goes to the general problem of government, which is sclerosis. And I have spent 30 plus years. I'm a retired lawyer now. And I spent 30 of those years arguing with the government to please process permits that were supposed to be routine and to make decisions that ought not to have been difficult and to take into account principles which are enduring, like private property rights, often to the great frustration of my clients and me. It seems to me that government outside of the military is plagued by sclerosis. And a lot of that has to do with the overemphasis of civil service protections that came after the patronage system. Do we need to rebalance in order to keep the blood moving?
I think that's a good analogy. And perhaps what we need here is a bit of a transfusion to shift your metaphor slightly. Maybe we need a messenger RNA vaccine that can get into these systems and change the fundamentals of what's inside them, thus creating faster flow, new ideas. And you hit the right word, it's balance. It's not an on and off switch, right? It's a rheostat. You've got to kind of crack that valve open, put those new ideas in. And back to where we started this conversation, that's what leaders do. Steven Jobs said, the difference in the end between followers and leaders is the courage to innovate. And that's the new vaccine, if you will. That's the new idea. You've got to continually inject new fuel into the machine.
You know, Admiral, I know that you began by saying the military may do this too quickly, but I think civilian side government does it way too slowly, especially at the state and local level. They've got to blow out leadership more often. And I don't mean because they're bad. It's just because they're blind often to their habits. And if someone's in a job for 3 years in civilian government as a city manager, as a head of planning, they're just, or as a permit issuer in any capacity, they're just going to become more invested in their own careers and their own people than they are in the public interest. That's my deep felt belief after 30 years of tangling with them.
I have no disagreement with that. The key is finding the balance. What's the right point? Where in the organization? How do you get the new in, but still have the continuity and maintain the balance? But when you see big failures from ships colliding to condos collapsing, you know it's time to accelerate the process of change in these organizations.
Well said, Admiral. I think maybe a magic rule is never longer than 7 years in any job. Just never longer than seven, unless you own it like Jeff Bezos did. Admiral, great to talk to you as always. Follow him on Twitter at Stav. Read his Bloomberg column. You'll be smarter for that, just as you are for listening to him every week.